Praise the Lord. It's great to celebrate Pentecost, isn't it? I'm not really sure that we can actually done our best, but we can't really celebrate Pentecost indoors, can we? Really. And amen. Could we come? We change the order. I think it's okay to change the order of service a bit on the day of Pentecost anyway. Probably other days too. So if we could conclude this morning with worship as well at some stage. I won't speak for long. And please hold me to that. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. But I'm speaking on the power of Pentecost. Most of the reading has already been read, but it's no... We'll read it again. I'll turn myself on. Am I turned on? Okay, I'm turned on. Okay. So we read Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. I read Acts 1, verse 6. Disciples ask the question, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Notice Jesus' answer. He didn't say no. He didn't say forget it. They'd been asking him that question for 3 years. And he'd been teaching them about the kingdom of heaven. And if ever there was a time for Jesus to say, no, it's not going to happen, that was the time. But he did not say that. He said, in effect, it's going to happen, but it's not for you to know the signs and the times of when it's going to happen. But it's going to happen soon. God will restore the kingdom to Israel. The promises of God from Genesis, especially those he made to Abraham, will be fulfilled. And for many of us, it may well be fulfilled in our day. Amen. Let's start believing the Bible. Start believing the word of God. And what Jesus said, what you do need to know, this is for you to know, you will receive power, as we've heard, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly, as first of many suddenlies in the Acts of the Apostles. Are you ready for a suddenly? Be ready for a suddenly. If you come to a Pentecostal meeting, you should be ready for suddenlies. And they thank God they happen anywhere. They don't actually have to happen in Pentecostal meetings, but I tell you what, there was a Pentecostal meeting that I was sitting in, and there was a suddenly for me. Hallelujah. You never know when it might be for you, but I do believe, because God has laid this so much upon my heart, there will be a suddenly in our experience. Amen. God's delays are not his denials. Sometimes he delays for 10 days, sometimes it's 10 years, sometimes it's 800 years or 2,000 years, but his delays are not his denials. And God is going to turn the spiritual culture of the world upside down in our day.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. He did it on the day of Pentecost, and that was the beginning. That was the mustard seed. Oh, Pentecost was a mustard seed. It was so small. But we are living in days of not Pentecost, but tabernacles. We are going to see the full flowering of that mustard seed across the whole earth in Jesus' name, as we are those that take that gospel to the nations of the world. Amen. And so we have to come to the conclusion. And also, it's worth noting, actually, because I asked the question, I thought people would know it, but it's a good question. You should know the answer. What were the last words of Jesus? Hope you know it by now. The last words of Jesus on earth. In case you get asked, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Where's the sound team gone? Acts 1 verse 8. The other half of it. Okay. Let's all say it then. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be in Peterborough and in East Anglia and in the United Kingdom and everywhere in the world. And thank God, even today, this message is going everywhere in the world. through that machine over there. God bless all those of you on the internet. May you receive power. Hallelujah. Jesus said you will receive power. And that was the promise. I'll just read the fulfillment in Acts chapter 2. We're only 10 days later, but 800 years after it had been given by Joel. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, another suddenly. Are you ready for a suddenly? There could be a suddenly before up past 12. Suddenly, pastor finished preaching. That'd be a miracle. Suddenly, thank God for suddenlies. I'll tell you what in my experience again, probably. Suddenly, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Praise the Lord. And perhaps in the history of so-called Pentecostal church, we've overemphasized, if that's possible, the fact of tongues. God did not ever promise tongues. He promised power. Hallelujah. Within that power, power to move the world and power to move mountains, power to raise the dead, within that is the gift of tongues. Amen? But he has given you power. You shall receive power, the ability to do the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe so many of you have received that. If not, nobody will go home without receiving power today. And nobody will go home without receiving a fresh anointing of power. Because who needs that? The trouble with pastors and the trouble with leaders of the church that we're kind of in giving mode always, a ministry mode, you know. We get like that after 50 years sometimes. And it's hard to get into receiving mode. God help us, help me to receive afresh what the Holy Spirit is doing today. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord, we're not going to let you go until you bless us. Put that heart in us today. And so Joel promised, and we could have looked it up, but Peter quoted that for us in the next chapter, Acts 2, verse 16 to 18. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men, there's dream dreams. Even on your old ladies, both men, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. And the difference between one of the differences between the new covenant and the old covenant is that under the old covenant, some people were anointed by the Holy Spirit. Some people like Samuel, some people like Samson, some people like David were anointed by the Holy Spirit. But under the new covenant, hallelujah, I will pour out my Spirit not on some people, but on all people. And all people even includes me. You know, the devil actually tried to make me believe that God was going to pour out the Holy Spirit on everybody except David Weeks. And I, you know, it took a few days, probably longer than it should have. We have to stop believing the devil. I don't know why it is that we find it much easier to believe the devil. In our old nature, we believe him rather than God. Amen. Amen. I love a dear evangelist that's gone to heaven now. And his name was William Lee, a gypsy evangelist. And he says, I declare that my heart is a doubt-free zone. Amen. Make that declaration over your heart today. This is a doubt-free zone. Doubts have to go now in Jesus' name. They're not non-welcome, they're evicted. Hallelujah. We don't sort of welcome them and so we put up with them. No way. They're going now in Jesus' name. They're going today in Jesus' name. You're going to go out filled with faith and with the Holy Spirit. You can't just be filled with the Holy Spirit and faith and something else as well. And doubts are going in Jesus' name. That made me think of another dear brother, perhaps not mentioned, but I need to mention today. There was a dear pastor of this church by the name of Pastor Brian Wright, who pastored this church for about 10 years. The last almost 10 years of the last century. And he went to be with the Lord on Monday. But we want to say thank God for him. I thank God for men of good like that, because Brian, bless him, Brian was a man, I believe, after God's own heart. And he sought the power of the Holy Spirit. He would not go apart from that revelation of the Holy Spirit. That's what he was really after. And that's what God blessed him through. And we want to say just thank God. I just want to honor this testimony. Pray, many of you may not know of him, but honor today before you the testimony of a previous pastor who stood before this pulpit, probably facing a different direction, but proclaimed the same gospel, that you shall receive power and be witnesses unto me. So we thank God for him. And we thank God for every man of God that has gone to glory, but we pick up their mantle now in Jesus' name. Because the promise is unto you and to this next generation, to all that the Lord our God will call. Praise the Lord. The first promise of the Holy Spirit was through John the Baptist. In the New Testament, Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 to 12, he was baptizing in water. And Matthew 3, verse 11, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I. Understatement. Whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The Holy Spirit always comes with something, eh? He never comes alone. He comes with faith, he comes with fire, comes with anointing, comes with power. Praise his name. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with power. And we have a baptism service at the end of this month. And if you want to be baptized in water, then you can come and see me or one of the leaders and we can arrange for that. But if you want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, you can't ask me, you ask Jesus. Anyone that's yet to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, ask Jesus now. Ask him now, Jesus, fill me now. Baptize me with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Amen. And it's just John baptized with water. Just a pastor or a leader baptizes with water. We know water. But he will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Covered with the Holy Spirit. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we ask for. And that's what we received. And that's what even Jesus experienced. Jesus himself was anointed with the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel. As he humbled himself, as he made himself in every way, like one of us, came to John the Baptist and asked for water baptism. And as he was baptized in water, in the end of that chapter, Jesus came to see John. And Matthew chapter 3, verse 6, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. A beautiful picture there of the Trinity. The voice of the Father, the Son being baptized, and the dove, the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit coming on Jesus. And that's a beautiful picture of every baptism, that when you'll be baptized at the end of this month, the Father might not be an audible voice, but the Father will say to you, you are my beloved Son. You are my beloved child or beloved daughter. He has daughters as well, of course. You are my beloved son. God is pleased with you. Whatever your earthly parents might have been, whatever kind of word you've had over your life, God wants you to know he's pleased with you. He's mightily, wonderfully pleased with you. In fact, he rejoices over you every day. Some days we feel a bit down, don't we? We find it hard to praise God, but he is always rejoicing over each one of us. He never has a down day, even when we're having down. He's giving praise over you. He's so grateful that you're following him. He's so grateful that you're beginning to do the works that he created you to do. And he declares that, especially when we're baptized in water, the beginning of our Christian walk and our Christian discipleship. Amen. Amen. And then Jesus himself, of course, John chapter 7, promised the baptism in the Holy Ghost. John 7 verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within him. By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. I imagine that it was almost like an altar call. It was at the final day of the Feast of the Tabernacles, and Jesus actually had almost had a back, you know, preaching from the back row, really, whilst this feast was going on, I think. But finally, on the last day, he comes to the forefront of the gathering and declares in a loud voice, "Is anybody thirsty? Let them come to me and drink." And there he gives the promise of the Holy Spirit. And I kind of, almost like an altar call, I kind of imagine, well, maybe there was 120 stay behind. I guess most people were just going home. You get that kind of mentality. This is the end of the meeting. This is the end of the feast. We're going home now. We've had all the usual things that we're expecting to happen. But suddenly, Jesus stands and says, "Anybody thirsty?" And there's just a few, maybe just 120. And they came there expecting perhaps to receive something. And he said, "You can't have it now." And that's interesting because on earth, of course, he was crucified. On earth, he was raised from the dead. And he could raise the dead in his earthly ministry. And he could deliver from demons and all other kinds of miracles. But he could not send the Holy Spirit in that. He had to wait for his ascension. Because the Holy Spirit comes to witness not just of Jesus at Christmas, not even just of Jesus on the cross or Jesus coming out of the grave, but Jesus on the throne. Jesus who is King of kings and Lord of glories. Jesus who has ascended on high and led captivity captive. And that's why they had to wait for him to be ascended, because when he ascended, as we began to read this morning, I think, he was taken above every principality and power, and he received all authority. And I love that verse, he led captivity captive. Every demon that's against us, he captured. And so when they come against us, we can come against them in his name. Amen? By the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so when the Holy Spirit came, and when he comes, that's what he witnesses to. Praise the Lord. And that, as we seek him, that results in that fulfillment of power. You shall receive power. The word is dynamis. Dunamis or dynamis or dynamite. You will receive the ability to do. John chapter 14, verse 12 to 14. "I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Verse 12, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name." What did Jesus do? Well, Acts chapter 10, verse 38 is a great summary. Jesus went around doing good, healing all that were oppressed or under the power of the devil, because the Holy Spirit was upon him. God anointed Jesus of power, of Nazareth, with the Holy Ghost and with power. And those were the works that he did. So we can put our name in there. God has anointed us with the Holy Spirit and with power. And we go around doing good, healing all that were under the power of the devil. It's interesting in that verse, the word power sometimes appears in the English. There's two different words translated for power. He went around. The power that God has given us is the one that's in. It's in there, okay? It was there. It's the power of the Holy Spirit, the same power that Jesus had. Acts 1, "You shall receive dunamis," that Jesus had. And God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the same Holy Spirit and with power. And again, this one's got it in. So it's under the... See, there's another power there. But that power is not like that power. Amen? The power of Jesus is the power that lifts up. The power that sets people free. The other power, it's a different Greek word, and it means the power that the devil has to oppress people, to keep them captive, and to stop them, to oppress them and overwhelm them. And thank God, through the cross, Jesus overcame all the works of the devil. And because he has conquered, we can conquer. And the first victory is within our own hearts, within our own lives. We seek him as Jesus did after the baptism of the Holy Spirit to obtain the power and authority over what the devil was tempting him to do. Of course, he never did that. He resisted temptation. Some of our lives in the past Maybe the devil has already messed up to a degree before we had a chance or allowed Jesus to get in. But there is a power and there's an anointing in the Holy Spirit here today to break every chain, every stronghold, every way that the devil has oppressed you for ever long you've been bound, even from that very same day if possible. And Jesus has set us free to do that. And being set free, we're called to go and set others free who are under that. It should have a capital P there and a small p there. It's a different word anyway. Under the oppression of the devil. On the cross, Jesus destroyed his power. Jesus bruised his head. And ever since, the devil has had a headache, wondering what the church is going to do next. Because the gates of hell are not going to prevail against him. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes on you. First of all, we need power to live today, don't we? I know somebody, a great Bible teacher, did a whole series of Bible studies on the power of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, marriage, life, and work. Ordinary, everyday life. It follows from Ephesians 5 and 6. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit in our marriage. We need the Holy Spirit before our marriage. We need the Holy Spirit to keep the wrong people away to get married to. I thank God I can testify to that. We need the Holy Spirit to bring us the right people to us. I thank God I can testify to that. We need the Holy Spirit every day of our marriage. I thank God I can testify to that. To bring up our children, we need the Holy Spirit at work. Amen. He doesn't go to sleep on Sundays at midday. What a silly thing to say. He's with us every day. He's so relevant in your work. As I look back, I just thank God for God's favor on my life. Even before I became a Christian, after I did a secular job, God gave us amazing favor in his name. Praise the Lord. Amen. I just sort of was able to do that. God blessed us in doing that. So we need the Holy Spirit to live, to witness. Of course, that's the foot. You shall be witnesses unto me. To preach, to pray, to heal, to deliver, to prophesy, and to speak in tongues. That's all part of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, I was one of my, I think my first, almost the first suddenly. I was, I've probably said this almost every sermon, but it was such a great testimony. Well, I was just merrily sitting on the back row. You see, I was a young man looking forward to getting married, I think in about a month, with a good secular job, a good outlook, you know, it's just all settled. Everything's sort of, I know what direction I'm in. I know where I'm going. And I know I'm going to get married. You know, there were some uncertainties about that. But, you know, Judith was the right one, the most beautiful woman on earth. I'm going to get married to her. So, you know, what else could we need to worry about, really? Except how much I could get enough income to support this marriage. But whatever. God will supply our needs. And here we are sitting at the back row of a meeting in Minehead Conference with about 3,000 people in that meeting. And an American pastor comes called Paul Schock. As it happened, and he preaches actually from Acts chapter 4 about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And as he came to the conclusion of that message, I tell you what, there was a suddenly for me. The Holy Spirit came on me sitting in that back row. I think it was roughly in that kind of direction for where I'm preaching now. And I had a vision of Jesus, on the throne. Amen. Don't tell you what it looked like, but something like this. I know something I felt he put into my heart. He said that he was calling me to get his church ready for his coming again. That's why I dare to believe I will see his coming again. At least the church has got to get ready for that. That was what he put into my heart. That was the end of my secular career. From now on, I'm a preacher of the gospel. Not only that, I didn't actually speak in tongues then, but what I put into my heart by then, you know, was actually to be a witness. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes on you. And you won't be able to sit in a meeting. You'll be out there. That's hard work out there because there's no people out there. You know, there's not many people out there. And it was hard work for me. This was a Christian conference. There was a total in that conference, Minehead Butlins at Minehead, 10,000 Christians on the site. How do you find someone to witness to? Well, it's hard work. But there's probably about 50 on the whole site, probably most of them staff. And I went up, I remember going into one of the restaurants after the meeting had finished, and there was just one guy there that was sort of serving coffee and drinks, and I think there were already two or three Christians witnessing to him. So I kind of pushed them aside a bit, you know, I got in, you know. I said, "Do you know Jesus?" He said, "No, he didn't really." And I offered him out of my pocket, you know. I wasn't taught how to do this. I hadn't been to any, you know, evangelism schools. I was quite rich then. I was a bachelor. So I offered him a 10-shilling note. If you don't know what that is, I'll explain afterwards. Offered him a 10 shilling note. He said, I've got all that. I don't know. I don't want that. I'm not interested. So I got that. Guess what? I got a pound note. Offered a pound note. Now, take this. Oh, I don't want it. I've got all the money I want. I don't need any more money. Yeah, you have, but you haven't got Jesus. And Jesus, you know, you'll never be satisfied with money. Only Jesus can satisfy. I was really glad he stopped there because I didn't have a 5 pound note on me. Problem was, that was 50 years ago. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, there is a passion to reach the lost. Now, I don't know about you, but I think, like perhaps a few other people, you can lose that passion. You don't have that. I look into my life and I'm challenged. But what took place then? I didn't instantaneously speak in tongues. I instantaneously wanted to share the gospel with somebody. And, you know, you can lose that. I read not so long ago about a preacher by the name of Duncan Campbell. Before he was a preacher, he was actually a soldier in the First World War over 100 years ago now. And he was serious. He wasn't a Christian then, but he was injured in that war and was invalid out of the war. Just as a result, was somebody witnessed to him and he became a Christian, became a preacher. And immediately after that conflict, he joined the Faith Mission in Scotland. And he just went from town to town as an evangelist. An itinerant evangelist. And he saw many hundreds come to Christ through that ministry. But many years down the road, he kind of settled down a bit. And if you call it that, but he actually became the pastor of a church, a Scottish church in a mid-sized town. And was just doing something, it was almost a routine. And he just relates how he was in his study on, you know, preparing for his sort of Sunday message, and the study door has a knock. Somebody knocks at the door, and it's his 16-year-old daughter, all things. She comes in, and she says, excuse me, Dad, can I have a word with you? So he says, yeah, come in. She says, Daddy, he says, I remember when you were younger years back that you used to move in revival. You saw God move in power in revival, but you don't seem to be moving in that now. And before her dad had any time to sort of respond to that or think about it, she just challenged him and she said, Daddy, when was the last time you led somebody to Christ? And that struck him. That was like a double-edged sword that went straight to his heart. And he had no rest. He just came to his knees and was a broken man until God just moved afresh in him and renewed in him the passion that he had lost. I feel very much about you, but I identify with that today. 50 years down the road, I need God to revive me, to refresh me in my own personal walk with God, in the sense that being filled with the Holy Spirit, the sign is not that we're just blessed, that we can enjoy God, but genuinely being filled with the Holy Spirit, we will be led by the Holy Spirit to see people saved, following Jesus. We shall win people for Jesus. We shall be where Jesus is. We shall be fishers of men. So I thank God there's one baptism in the Holy Ghost. And if any have not yet received that, then we will again lay hands on you and believe, and you will speak in tongues. You can. Many of you possibly haven't, but you will do today in Jesus' name. If anybody hasn't, you will before you go. And we will do that. But also today, I feel, at least for me, we need to pray for each other that we'll be filled again. The Bible says, Ephesians 5, verse 18 to 20, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. You quickened it. Whenever I look it up, you get it before me, and whenever I don't, be being filled with the Spirit. And that first verse, the be being filled, it's a plural word for everybody. It's a command. It's not an option. It's be filled. It's like, don't drink wine, but be filled. Don't murder, but be filled. Don't steal, but be filled. So if you're not filled, you're disobedient. I'm disobedient. We're disobedient. God wants to fill us today. And I got a feeling there's no day like today that he wants to fill with the Holy Spirit. If we come to him. I love that song that says, Lord, we want you to come into this room. Well, actually, we don't have to open the doors. I mean, he comes through doors that are closed. What he doesn't do, he doesn't come into hearts that are closed. We have to open our hearts to him. Perhaps have to start with repentance. We certainly have to look at the blood of Jesus, that we do not have any righteousness of our own. We open our hearts and we say, here we are, Holy Spirit, wholly available. As for me, we will serve you. I don't know what kind of journey God might lead us on from today. I do believe in suddenlies. I do believe that God can so fill us today that he will restore everything that has been lost. That was our prayer, one of our prayer passions. And God is here today, I believe, to underline that. God will do what has done in some degree. What we have asked him to do already, we've seen him do that. But there will be an ongoing work. And I've been challenged, Ephesians 3, verse, there's another 3:16. Amen. There's something about 3:16. There's many of them. Paul prays. I bring Paul's prayers to you. Any or all of them, really. Just pray them for yourself. But there's no prayer like this one for now. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that passes knowledge. Amen. And we'll come to the last verse in a minute. Now let's just stand and lift our hands and let's believe together. Amen. I know we're not finished it. We're going to finish it now. Amen. They do this for me. The last words say, amen, that we might be filled. Amen. Father, I pray now that we will fill this congregation. Fill this congregation to your measure. Father, I want to repent, Lord, of limiting your measure. And Lord, as far as I can, Lord, I humble myself before you and confess, Lord, that I have not followed you as I could have and should have. And Lord, before this congregation, that because of that, they have not been led as they could have and should have to see fields, Lord, to a harvest field. But from today, Lord, we're asking that you will look upon our hearts, that you will do something new and something fresh in every single one of us. That, oh God, you will fill us today, that we shall receive power in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We magnify you, Lord. Let's just worship the Lord we are. Just ask the worship team if they can come and just lead us, please. And we will just worship God however the Holy Spirit leads at the end of this meeting today. Have your way, Lord, in my life. And if you want to pray with someone or pray for someone, and please do that. Encourage one another. We need to pray for one another. To be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be being filled with the Holy Ghost. Present, continuous. Receive the Holy Ghost. He's being poured out today, not just even on Pentecost Sundays, but every particular Sunday. Lord, have your way today. And Lord, do something new in our lives. You shall receive power. Hallelujah. Wherever it's gone, Lord.